The good news of Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O
Christ. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger, and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all of his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of Christ. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. In the name of Christ, amen. The story in the gospel this morning begins when Jesus sees this woman who just happened to show up. She shows up in the synagogue on the Sabbath, despite what many people would have concluded. God no longer regards her, no longer remembers her, yet she shows up. Listen how Luke says this woman shows up. "And behold, a woman." Is it her gender or her appearance that is more shocking? She shows up and everyone ought to take notice. Someone did. Jesus sees this woman. Jesus acknowledges her. Jesus speaks to her. Jesus approaches her, getting close enough to touch her, because at some point we have to stop praying and proclaiming the good news from a distance. At some point we have to stop sending thoughts and prayers when we need to send our bodies and our dollars and our resources. We have to get near enough to lay hands. We have to get close enough to stand by people, be identified with people, be a tangible benefit to people. He touches her. She is touched. She is changed. She is no longer shackled. She is freed. And now she is standing upright. And his proclamation gives way to her celebration. But before the praise party is let loose, it is interrupted. The leaders of the synagogue are angry, angry that one of the members got healed. They rage against someone who would dare heal on this day. They tell everyone the appropriate days of the week on which they should come and be healed. Not today, they say. Oh no, not today. But Jesus' words reveal a discomfort with apathy in the face of human suffering. The synagogue leaders' words reveal their comfort with spiritual impotence in sacred spaces, at least on the Sabbath. Like many Christians today, these leaders had become comfortable with words without power, rituals without real change. These leaders are increasingly comfortable with lazy sentences which leave people comfortable in their complacency. The synagogue leaders are comfortable with schedules. Healings on Sundays through Thursdays, even though that wasn't taking place, apparently, because this woman had been crippled for 18 years. No healing on Saturday, not the Sabbath, not today. Jesus must be thinking, not today. He responds with a three-point sermon. First, Jesus speaks truth to power. You hypocrites, he says, risking public rebuke. He says precisely what he sees. Second, you would loose your donkey or your ox to get a drink of water on the Sabbath, but deny this woman her healing? I don't think so. We are no longer caring only for those whose labor can be monetized. Third, do you think that you can deny this daughter of Abraham her deliverance? I don't think so. We are no longer counting people out because of their condition. Get over how you feel about them and focus on what God can do with them. Because where you see deranged and diseased and disfigured, God sees another daughter. Where you see sins and shortcomings and shortfalls, God sees another son. Don't you dare tell her to come back tomorrow. Because we are no longer blocking people's blessings or allowing people to remain bound because their deliverance does not fit into our schedules or because the timing of their freedom is inconvenient for us. Not today is not an option. Today is all we have. And now the crowd rejoices with her because it is no longer just about this woman. They celebrate what Jesus is doing with them today. Today, there are no more delays, no more denials, no more deliberations on whether or not to act or to do or to speak on behalf of someone in need. Because the truth is, we all need something and somebody at some point in our lives. It's time for the church to stop not todaying people and not todaying God by putting off what we can presently do, what we are called to do, what we need to do, when now is the acceptable time and today is the day of salvation. Not today has made us irrelevant. People outside the church are looking less and less to the church for leadership and help in society. Not today has made us irresponsible by putting programs and polity and profit before people. Not today has made us irreverent and ignorant and idolatrous because we are placating people and protecting self-interests rather than proclaiming the gospel. And it has left people hurting and bound and bent over. So, to all of you who are hurting, to all of you who are sitting up straight in your pews, but whose backs are bent under the load you are carrying, to all of you who feel bound, to all of you who have been told not today by some not today people, despite your encounters with not today people, I'm here to tell you we serve a today kind of God. Today, Luke is telling us, just like Jesus told those people in the synagogue, that the God of today sees you, speaks to you, approaches you, because you are not alone. You are not hidden. You are not invisible. You are not ignored. You are not forgotten. You still have a God who will be present with you and will be your protection and provider for all your needs. God is still speaking to us today. God can touch us, our souls, our bodies, our families. We just have to be like the woman in the gospel today. We have to show up. For ministry, for meetings, for worship, for conversation, for coffee. Show up for God and watch God show up for you. Watch God defend and protect whatever God is doing for you. I am here to give you the confidence, the assurance that nothing can block God or thwart God or deter God or hinder God. Why is that, Christopher? How do you know this? Because nothing stopped Jesus. Not an unwed mother, not an overbooked inn, not the temptation in the wilderness, not leprosy, not two little fish and five loaves, not the sleep of death, nor stormy seas, not deserting disciples or denying Peter or a betraying Judas, not a kangaroo court, not a crown of thorns, not even a hill called Calvary, not an old rugged cross, not nails in his hands, not a sword in his side, not a rock to seal his tomb, not death, not hell, not a grave. Because there is nothing in creation that can separate you from the love God has for you and is told and shown to us in Christ Jesus. So, show up for God. Stand up on behalf of God. Set your eyes and keep your focus on God, no matter how hard it is. Because God will, God can, and God is working today.